Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
A simple word commonly used to describe the Holy Ghost, used hundreds of times in the New Testament and several times in the Gospel of today's reading from the St. Paul. Heavenly, to come. This simple word is at the very heart of our salvation. My professor of beloved memory, Father Hopkins, used to say that we live in the language of both apophysis, or the negative way, and catholicis, which is the positive way. In other words, human words have their limitations. So we can say some positive things, but we also recognize that our words just do not reach the fullness of the truth. So we have both the positive, God is love, and the negative, thou art incomprehensible. And this is how we use our language, and the more that we grow into mystery, the deeper that the reality of those words, their meaning comes to us. In the opening line of today's gospel, we read that the Lord came into the with the body that he had taken from the Holy Mother of God at his incarnation. When he came down from heaven and entered into our history. And he brings his human nature united to his divine person and nature into the moments that we now share with him, and he shares with us. He comes into our lives. Of course, this movement from the Lord's side is not just a change of place on earth, but a saving migration of heaven to earth. A coming down of the Son of God, often the main root verb, erhone, come, is attached to a prefix. Christ came into power, east everything. And then, when Christ enters Capernaum, we encounter the second usage of death, the centurion approaches Erechete, comes toward you, throws toward Erechete, saying, Lord, come. The servant to his master, beseeching him to draw near yet the life of that centurion. The Greek word we translate with beseeching the Lord, proskalon, is composed of that prefix, pros, toward, and kaleo, to call. In other words, he invites Jesus Christ. He besought him to come closer to his life as he draws near to the Lord. And then the Lord responds with his response to that invitation. And we read there, Ephrone, I am coming to heal you. And finally, the incident consummates in the life of the age to come, as Christ, astounded by the faith of this Gentile, says, many will come from the east and the west to their life with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And there it is, my beloved, the gospel in living colors, framed in the story of the healing of the servant of the centurion, but fully also our story. Christ came to us. We came to him. The kingdom will come, and many will sit at the banquet. evidence of God's love for us, our love for Him, and our being with Him for all eternity. It is all there today in that simple word. Over and over in the scriptures, this exchange is reset in the concrete historical passages. Erkate, he came to the city of Sychar. And Erkate, there came to him a woman at the door toward him. For there was a man called Nicodemus, and Erkate, he came to Jesus by night. And on the eve of the Feast of the Apostles, we recall the future apostles' words when they first encountered Christ. Master, where are you abiding? What a loaded question to be unfolded in the days of the apostles' life. Christ's response is, come and see. And you, my brothers and sisters, have come to God after God loved you before the foundation of the world had first come to you. Out of timeless eternity, He called you into your creation, and then from eternity, He, without your knowing how and why, whispered into your soul, come to Him. This is a call to come, a quiet, shall we say, coming of the Lord before our approach to Him within our souls. This is why Jesus said, no one can come to me except. And again, no one can come to the Father except by me. And in St. Paul's words, no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And it is why on the scroll of Christ's hands we read, Father, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You are here because you were never without God. And when you were baptized, what changed according to Saint Dorotheus is the previous baptism. God called you from the outside, and the world and the prince of this world from the inside. Now, after baptism, the world and the enemy summons you from the outside. The Lord calls you from within. As the great martyr Ignatius wrote in his letter to the Romans, my love has been crucified, and there is no desire to be fed, but there is within me the water that gives and speaks, saying to him, come. Such a simple word, but imminent in everything that the gospel teaches us. God's movement towards us, and our movement towards Him, our movement towards our neighbor in the love of God. And now, before I close, I want to leave you with three injunctions, invitations to God. The very endearing passage Jesus speaks, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am humble and meek, and your soul shall find rest. Chrysostom's notes the mystery of this synergy between us and God. It is a burden, yes, but it is light. Life is not easy, but with Christ's grace and the key of his teaching is coming into us, every trial is filled with trust and with strength. The one coming to him will in no wise be put out. His yoke is light. My dear brothers and sisters, we were created to serve. We will serve. We are made to serve. We will serve God or we will serve the enemy. In an amazing passage in the book of Deuteronomy, we read, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, in dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord has sent against you. This enemy will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Spiritually understood, without God, without God who has come from the very beginning, you will be yoked with an unbearable heaviness, that of serving the enemy. And spiritually speaking, in nakedness and poverty, and without the capacity for Christ to share with both your life. That's the first part. The yoke, the burden. And Christ's burden is so light for you, my brothers and sisters, when we are accompanied by God. Things, small things, big things, that will crush the soul of a person without God. One can joyfully rejoice in, knowing and trust that nothing comes to us except by the hand of God. The second call we hear is, come, let us worship God our King. Come, let us worship and fall down before Christ, our King and our God. Our movement in reverential prayer. The famous abbot of Ignatius said, prayer is locomotion to God. And prayer is gratefully offering in prostration a soul of trust, gratitude and repentance. Proscenisome, Christmas. Come, let us venerate, worship God, and fall down. The Lord comes to us according to our church and according to the great fathers in all the sacraments of the church, the mysteries of the Holy Church. For Leo the Great said, all the healing and the great works of Christ have passed into the sacraments of the church. Christ visits us, enters us, comes into us the way he entered Capernaum. His ascension into heaven isn't greater absence from us, it's greater nearness to us, as the Father said. He can be with us and give to us in the Holy Eucharist his presence within us in the sacraments of the church. But we, brothers and sisters, we try to learn in life how to have locomotion towards God in prayer. That's our coming to the Lord, is praying for him. It's not a location of our bodies, because God is everywhere present and filling everything. It's a coming to him within our souls who first came to us. It's a loving of him who first loved us. And we come to him after he speaks into our soul. We come to him as he says within us, come to the Father. Come to the Father. And because of that, brothers and sisters, the life of this earth, as Ignatius said, becomes something that we're presented to. This earth is beautiful. It has so much that draws us to it, but it has to be placed second after the urge to come to God, after the urge to set our affections on things above. To earnestly desire to be with God, as St. Paul said, it's better for me to hope, but urgent for me to stay in order to help you. And in those last few words of the book of Revelation, the Apostle John says, the Spirit says, come. The bride, the church, says, come. Come, Lord Jesus. That's where our affection should be. The final come is from the book of Isaiah, often called the fifth gospel for its vivid portrayal of Christ's suffering hundreds of years before him. There the Lord speaks to the people. We read this first chapter, and the chapter at the start of Great Lent, when we're going to fast, when we're going to keep, you know, a more rigorous life. And what does God say? I'm sick of your fasts. I'm tired of your new moons. I don't want your celebrations anymore. Does that mean that the churches and her services don't mean anything to God? No, it means, as he says, when your heart is far from me and your life is far from me, this becomes nothing but judgment for us. And then come these marvelous words. Come. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Every day, brothers and sisters, our main attention should be to battle against that which separates us from God. And God is saying to us, as he has taught us and we have learned from him, come, use Christ's mind, reason together, see things as they are, as I have shown you them. And in that process, I will cleanse your heart and your soul and make you as white as snow. One word of the gospel. All of our salvation is contained in it. Brothers and sisters, let us come as God has come to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.